Ready to go, Commissioner? Good morning. Today is Thursday, July 12, 2018. It is 9 a.m. We're assembled in the BCC conference room for County Administrative Workshop. With us this morning, I think we'll start with the, we have item 1A, which is the assessor's intergovernmental agreement between the state of Oregon and Josephine County for control point data collection. There isn't anybody here from the assessor's office right off the bat, so I think what we'll do is skip to item 2A, information technology. John, if you want to come up. And it's item 1A1, which is archiving social media information only.
Good morning, sirs.
Good morning.
It's been on my radar for a while. Counties in Oregon have been tasked at their local level to monitor and archive social media content so that if postings are made either by employee or the public and then later removed, they would be captured by an archival process. Legal counsel approached us about a month ago and reiterated from their understanding that that's where we should go and made a recommendation that we research doing that. Sheriff employee on a separate conference shared that they were concerned about it as well. So my understanding was we had about 11 social media sites, anywhere from the Friends of the Family Shelter to parks to the health department. There's one Twitter page, I believe, for the sheriff. But yesterday I found out that parks actually has individual Facebook pages for individual parks. So the cost of the agreement is fairly reasonable. The company we're dealing with is Smarsh. The reason we went with Smarsh is because they have a wide range of archival services. They're well established in Oregon. Other Oregon counties use them. The amount is a subscription basis. It's just a contract for a year. The front end costs is $500. So it's well within the wheelhouse of a department manager to sign this. We can handle it in the 18-19 budget, but thought it should come before the board because it is an entirely new area of software acquisition. So it would be something like $3,500 a year based on how many Facebook pages we have with parks. I have a call in to Sarah to see how many that might be.
Okay. We don't have a social media, I don't remember doing a social media like policy as far as establishing a Twitter account that, you know, you need to have permission from your manager at least. You could see any staff person establishing this, you know, pretty easily, and then there's liability associated with that kind of stuff. So
I see this as a way to police it a bit better.
Yeah.
In order to have one, it has to be monitored. So we would have to know that it was out there. Mm-hmm. And you're right. Any employee could start one and call it, or non-employee and call it, yep, Josephine County anything.
And we wouldn't have jurisdiction or...
No.
Having an arc, yeah, distinguishing somehow that this is an official by the county, that might be something we need to, yep, incorporate into every one of those, that there's a phrase that is our phrase, just whatever it is.
So Josephine County, our main page, has a local government designation. It's a local,
okay,
government page.
Yeah.
You know you're on a sponsored government page.
Okay.
City the same way.
Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, with there's one out there, Josephine County Chat, and people could say, well, maybe that's coming out of the courthouse. Yeah, you know, there's... You can attach Josephine County to anything. So,
yes.
You're saying there's a brand or something that says that it's official?
It's less than official, but someone else would have to fight with us to say that they're local government for Josephine County. So when you look at the Facebook page, I believe it says Josephine County local government.
What I was thinking is every one of those pages that we have needs to have that designation. We need to be distinct.
Research
but
that.
That's just one element, John. I think that there's a whole, this opens up, this is a great step forward, and I'm not opposed to this at all, and I think we need to do this. It's a new thing to have to maintain this archive for social media because of the element of FOIA requests. Is that what we call them?
Yes.
They were something different in D.C. But you have to you have to be able to provide that. If somebody says, I want everything that has been posted from the county by staff or whatever, they have a right in the last year.
Is that public information?
Yeah.
That's where legal counsel is basing their recommendation on, request for information.
What are the ramifications if we didn't maintain this? That's one thing we probably should talk about in executive session, but I mean, what's the cost-benefit analysis if we get fined $50 and we spend $3,500 a year for something nobody is ever going to collect?
I don't think there's a precedent yet. In fact, there's legal recommendations out there, discussions that I've read. The city attorney for San Diego said, social media is basically hallway conversations.
Exactly.
It's not classified under discoverable information.
Right.
That's been their take. Until it goes to court, you won't know. And so.
I think this is something that we should sit down with legal counsel about, and you should be there, and we should discuss before we move forward on this contract. Because once you start down this path, you're in it.
Right. Well, it is a subscription. You can back out.
I mean, from a policy standpoint,
from the county,
it's a trajectory that you are going to choose.
Oh, here, Chris is going to come up.
and you can't go back.
Would you like me to schedule it for the next legal discussion?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I would like to explore the liabilities associated with this, and if we have an opportunity as a county to set a policy of saying, no, social media, because we have 12 right now. There could be some other social media platform that comes out, and who knows, every staff person could eventually have their own, you know, interactive with the public style, blah, blah, blah. Can you imagine? This doesn't go with 3,500, it goes to 35,000.
At some agencies it would be.
Right. And we don't have those kinds of resources, so I certainly wouldn't want to appropriate them to archive stuff that's hallway conversation, in my opinion. I think we just need to be very, very.
Do we have a path if someone's going to set up one of these accounts that has to go through IT?
We don't.
No. And that's been an issue before with passwords. So an employee at the shelter was maintaining the Facebook page. Their employment didn't go well, and we struggled to take over the site. So those kind of things can, and so this would make more solid, mm-hmm. those kind of things. We should get a leash on that regardless of what we do with archiving.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is a good step in the right direction, I think, but, and then we need policy to kind of govern, passwords are kind of.
Okay.
There's a whole host of things. I mean, I couldn't even imagine to start thinking about. The nice thing is that there's probably someplace that has a policy on this that we just kind of adopt. That would be something that we could probably work on parallel to this, John, if in your conversations with other counties about having done this, that we could work on it.
So I go to conference in a couple of weeks, I'll grab some stuff.
Perfect.
And I have talked to HR about getting better our policies on this stuff.
Okay.
If you would indulge me, I dropped off another.
I have data use agreement?
Yeah, the data use agreement is, and there's a copy for Ricky. We share data with the state emergency services. This is a short document. Its standards basically the same as what the assessor will be presenting on sharing data. We share our data, you share ours. Right now, the Klamath fire, we are getting this data from them, evacuation data on a temporary basis. They've renewed it. So timely, we'd like to get this done. It's been sitting on our end for several months. We'd like to get a permanent resolution to allow the state to share their data with us and for us to share GIS. It's just GIS data. It's not assessor ownership type data.
Okay, we'll get that.
Okay.
Resolution. That stuff with the Department of Revenue anywhere, right?
We do now, yeah. I think the assessor's looking to renew that situation.
Okay.
Any other questions for John?
No, I just didn't want to. That's my position on the previous conversation. I don't know, I mean, if you guys feel strongly about it, that they, you wanna do it, go ahead. But I would take a step.
I have no problem.
If we're delayed a week, it won't.
Okay, great.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Public Works, we're gonna move you up to B. Neil, glad to have you here, civil engineer. And item B1 is contract for personal services with Hart Krausler, Inc.
Yeah, so Hart Krausler is a geotechnical engineering firm, and there's a slide on Granite Hill Road. And unfortunately, I didn't bring a map or anything to show you exactly where it's at. But it's an ongoing problem. The county realigned it with county forces 20-some years ago in the early 90s, I think. But we don't have any information or record of what we did. And it's continuing to slide and continuing to move. So this is a contract for geotechnical work to come up with a more permanent solution. So this has, they'll do some borings and drill down and figure out if it's sliding or settling or if it's erosion on Louse Creek, so we just need.
Is it anywhere near Louse Creek out there?
Yes.
I mean, I can, and here, if you could.
I think it's just right on the other side of the bridge.
If you could help us out when we have a presentation like this, I didn't get a map. I would look through the presentation, I didn't get a map as to where it was. It said it was in the vicinity of Louse Creek, but Granite Hill follows Louse Creek until it gets to where it turns uphill along the power line. And I didn't know whereabouts along there it was, so that would have been very helpful, but.
Yeah, I think it's just right past the bridge, right as you start going up the hill.
Okay.
It's been a few years since.
Is it sloughing, is the road sloughing away towards the creek, or is the uphill side sloughing into the, is it landsliding onto the roadbed, or is it the other way around?
It's the other way around. The road continues to settle, and we just continually put more and more asphalt in there every year to, not every year, but as a maintenance. So this is a contract to, you know, figure out the long-term solution and so we're not chasing.
And it shows this contract going through 2021. How, I mean, are they gonna monitor this for 2 years, or?
Yeah, they, part of that is they're putting slope inclinometers, and they'll monitor, those. Yeah, but I don't know what the actual timeframe.
Yeah, it's the 2021, and I just thought, gosh, you know, it's a three-year deal. And that amount is for the total amount, that's not an annual, is it?
No, that's a total amount.
I think it's something we gotta do.
What are the other options? Close the road, move it farther up the hill?
Well, we are, that's what we're looking at. We don't know what our options are. I mean, we could, I mean, we're continually blade patching and putting more asphalt as it settles, you know, settle a little bit. And yeah, just chasing it, I guess, is the other option.
Well, I think it seems like the option.
Yeah, we don't.
I mean, this will give us what our options are.
Yeah, just read.
We have other slide areas in the county, and is there a need to package this proposal in a sense of, and I know you're kind of pitching in for the program right now, but that would be a consideration, because there's, on the Galise Road, I mean, that's a significant slide that just continues to happen and cost us a tremendous amount of money to remove that slope fill every year. If there's some sort of a, you know, there's four of these things that happen in Josephine County where the road is doing something similar, that we, you know, maybe get a better bang for the buck rather than coming back in 2 years and saying, oh, can you monitor this one the way you did that one? Or, while they're down here, their guy hits those four spots.
Yeah.
I don't know, just a thought that this isn't an isolated, we don't have a lot of these in my understanding.
Well, we just did one up on Waters Creek. We had that.
That slide.
You know, slide away, and we get it from time to time. I don't know if you have a list, a laundry list over there, Public Works, of ones that you consider to be habitual offenders, or whatever you wanna call them.
Yeah, that sounds.
Frequent flyers, and I think that's what you're asking for.
I'm just wondering if there's sufficiency package.
Do we have four or five of them that we could lump together? This one here, I think.
Obviously is the.
We'll just take this one as a single, but looking in the future, maybe that might be something we wanna just kind of keep on the radar and say, yeah, we got four of these that are just a trouble spot.
Or maybe the other ones are very obvious.
Yeah, the other ones, like the Galise, it comes from above the road and goes on the road. So the road's pretty stable, it's just above the road.
You just gotta get the debris off of it.
Yeah, that's gonna.
And the one on Waters Creek, we know that the creek is eroding below, so that's the cause on that one. This one, we just don't know what the.
Yeah.
What the deal is.
What the causes.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good.
Well, let's just take them one at a time then for right now. But you might look to see if there are some hot spots that come up year after year after year.
Okay, and then
I imagine Caltrans has got the same thing down through the canyon. You know, they've got their hot spots that,
yeah,
what do we do? I would clean it up when it falls, and that's about all you can do. So nothing.
So I do have two original contracts right here that I need to get in the queue.
Did you say you throw them today? Okay.
We got those in the queue.
Just leave it there.
Rob hasn't signed this one. I think the consultant changed their signatory person, so we got new signatures from the consultant, so then Rob will sign these on next Thursday when he gets back.
Great.
Okay, you'll leave those here. We'll take care of them.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
All righty. Chris. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kind of making it up today.
We're moving up to item 1A, accessory intergovernment agreement between the state of Oregon and Josephine County for control point data collection. With us, we have Chris Parton. Chris, thank you for coming up. And
good morning.
Give us a lowdown on this. I think you're more of an interpreter, for at least for me, because I read through.
Yeah.
I read through the data. Went, what did I just read? So could you kind of explain what this is all about?
So what we're looking for, what we have here is an IGA with the state of Oregon. Department of Revenue provides grant funding for GIS tax map digitization. So it's part of a statewide shapefile initiative that's started, gosh, I believe in 2000, I want to say, maybe 2002. So what this does is this basically is it's funding from the state of Oregon to pay for 225 control points. We have a contract. We did a normal solicitation process. We've already selected the contractor to do that. And so this just basically is revenue so that we can turn around and pay the surveyor to collect digitized points that our map, our cartographer can actually turn into a map. So
I thought we'd been doing this.
This is nothing new.
No, yeah.
It's just,
I thought we were almost done.
It's so boilerplate, I kind of forgot about our meeting, so.
I thought this was almost done.
No.
Halfway?
We're more than halfway.
Okay.
We are close to 64%, give or take, 70%, so.
They just keep hacking away at this thing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the funds are slated to disappear in December of 2020. So we have ramped up our schedule of map work, increased our FTE for our cartographer, increased the amount of funds that we've been asking for from the state to get this done sooner.
Yeah,
so
I remember
it's a multi-year
thing. I think
we had
this discussion like a year and a half ago, maybe right after you guys got here, and it's been going on for a while. But
this covers it. Covers your expenses at $65,000.
The grant itself is for, I believe it's for $45,000. The contract we have with the surveyors for $43,775.
Okay.
So, yeah, this basically is kind of pass through funds where we're.
And this is an annual thing you apply for?
Correct. So,
okay.
There's a spring cycle and a fall cycle. And so, at any one time, we've got 2 to 3, depending on if there's an extension or not, grants going at once. So, the fall cycle pays for our 1 year's. Cartographer's work, and then the spring cycle pays for an annual collection of data points. So what I'm trying to do, I got to make sure I schedule the collection data in advance enough to get the money and then to get the work done, and then in time for them to turn it over to our cartographer to get the maps done.
Is this going to improve? I know when I look on the maps, the GIS stuff,
mm-hmm.
it's evident that there's times when it's 30 to 50 feet off because there's like the line of some property line,
yeah.
But then the digital delineation of where the lot line seems to be is
right.
It's just off a little bit.
Yeah,
so that's going to bring those into alignment of like, no, the guy went out there, this point should be this point.
Yeah, typically the answer is yes.
Okay.
Sometimes that can be an issue of a geo-referencing that's done where the older maps that I have, they're manual,
mm-hmm.
basically manual, you know, pen and paper kind of thing. Hasn't been digitized yet, so that's why they're off.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be just a function of the GIS, the geo-referencing, where the shapefile, it's more of an issue of a technological issue of the shapefile not matching up with different the geo-database. So, but yeah, the ones that are more obvious,
mm-hmm.
it's probably because it's a part of the county that hasn't been digitized
yet. Okay, great.
Okay, any other questions?
Nope, good stuff.
I am going to be on vacation next week, so.
No, that's fine. I can talk to I can speak to it.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
We'll thank you, sir.
Consent calendar item because it's pretty routine.
Yep. Yeah, we've done this every year for since I've been here.
Yeah.
And before that, too.
Yep.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Moving on to item number 3 is a finance report. Mr. O'Hare, please step forward and take the seat.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this all morning. So,
Rich.
Good to see your enthusiasm morning, Arthur.
I
appreciate that.
Yeah.
Always a smile on your face.
Energy is running high. On that.
Yes.
So the main thing is that I did get a little reminder letter from our friends in the state of Oregon about Hugo Hills. And she basically said, as you know, June 1st was a deadline to get the project occupied, meaning to reestablish a residential treatment facility at the Hugo Hills property. So issue needs to be resolved ASAP, or Josephine County needs to move forward for repayment of the obligation, which is the $73,000 for those 30-year amortized awards, awards that were being amortized over 30 years. So
we can't discuss too much. This is an executive session topic. I can fill you in on where we're at in progressing on a parallel track to get it occupied.
Yeah, that would be good.
Or get it paid for.
Yeah, that gives us more flexibility and it gets that monkey off our back.
I'll talk to Helene today about, I just actually talked to her on Thursday about it last week. I was asking for an update this week and she said, well, we can do it right now, tell you exactly where we're at. So I'll let you know where we're at.
Good. The Dimmick campus, so just got a couple of points and then I'll be done. But the Dimmick campus, as you know, there we were working on getting a no further action from DEQ. The individual involved in that has left, and so they're guesstimating. I was talking with Kyle at Mall Foster. They're guesstimating that it will be August before the new person will be there and be up to speed and be able to finalize that no further action.
We need to bring this point up at Regional Solutions with Commissioner Morgan. We've got two projects that are held up by this transition in DEQ and they're not accommodating it via a staff person from an interim basis at the state level. And it's really providing a bottleneck. And I've also heard in the private sector that there isn't anybody facilitating like septic inspections and all this other stuff.
Everybody's waiting. Last night's paper, they closed in the DEQ office here in Grand
Rapids. Yeah, they're moving it to Medford, but it's like it doesn't exist here now.
Right.
Because there isn't any staff person. We're having a trouble with the North Valley Industrial Park. The DEQ person's interpretation of the information from the 100 holes that they drilled is different than our engineer's expectation of the amount of leach volume it can handle on a daily basis. And so, you know, there's a huge discrepancy. It's 100% off between this person and that person. But this person isn't here anymore from DEQ, and we can't move forward on this project until we have an understanding on this thing. It's just really frustrating. And it should be a Regional Solutions matter that the governor understands that you should not be impacting the economy, building, all this stuff. It's not serving the region.
I think Commissioner Morgan has a pretty good rapport. At County College, we had a DEQ presentation. And, you know, we brought up a lot of issues down here. She said, well, that's DEQ. I said, then where are you? Mm-hmm. You know, we're not getting any, you know, like when it was one of the compounds, some of the environmental quality and environmental health thing, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, that was in their wheelhouse, but they're just nowhere to be found when you ring the doorbell. So
it's a real problem.
We did hire an engineer, Public Works, to do a actual testing of the property there at the airport. So that should be.
So we'll get a third opinion.
Give us a definitive opinion as to how much, because right now I believe it's just based on soil types. That no one did an actual percolation test. They just said, this is the type of soil, and in general, this is what it can handle.
Historically, this is what it'll accept.
Yeah, and that's where they're going off of different histories or something. But we do have the engineer, I think Galley, or however you say it, pronounce the name, yeah.
Probably Galley.
Yeah, that are actually involved in doing a percolation test, and so we should have some definitive information to move this project forward. It's been languishing for, a long time, but even since we hired Mal Foster to be project manager, we never got it up to the point where he could now assume project management. Because of the DEQ issue. So, anyway. Okay. So those were the three items I was going to bring up.
Okay. There's another, as long as we're talking engineering, and this is in your wheelhouse, Commissioner DeYoung, is just the idea of that engineering report for the water suppression system at the Ivy Airport. Really need to get moving on that. And I had a gentleman in my office yesterday. He's been exploring opportunities for tanks and other options and stuff, but they happen and then they go away. Somebody else takes advantage of them. So we've really got to get that number or the strategy, and so that we can utilize that $100,000 that was dedicated from the sale of the Cave Junction building. I know that IV has worked on an IGA, and Kenny Houck sent this to me, a draft of, and I'll forward it to you because I think that's something you need to have from a financial standpoint of facilitating drawing down those grant dollars from the sale of the Cave Junction building to reinvest in the Illinois Valley like we had intended. Mm-hmm. And so establishing that program, they're finally getting it together to do so. And so I'll forward you.
I read that, skimmed through the engineering report. It was quite vague. It could be anywhere between $210,000 and $520,000. That's not an estimate to me. Yeah, you know, like, what is it going to take to, there's three wells out there, two of them function at a very pretty low capacity, but if you ran them, you could keep that pond full out there with the two, there's three wells, one of them's abandoned, and their recommendation is to abandon all three and drill a new one. Why, I would not know why.
Yeah, it doesn't give any justification for that. The problems are not the wells.
No, the problems are the retention pond. Right. Exactly. And they had an estimate on what the retention pond was, but that whole thing went from $210,000 to like $530,000. And that, to me, and anywhere in between, that doesn't make any sense.
I don't need the value.
That isn't, I could have done that.
Right?
Looking over the end of our thumb. Well, give me an estimate. It could be anywhere between $100,000 and a million.
I need to know what the problem is, and then we'll go find out.
I skimmed through the report this morning because it was on my email.
Yeah, but they dug the thing, and then they lined it, and then they had to put gravel in it because the liner comes up if you pump the water out.
Yeah,
you know, and then you can't put it in. Can't put it back in. And
I went out and looked at it, and it looked to me like any time I have ever seen bladder applications. Oh man, this stuff is impervious. And then here comes a ground squirrel and drills up through the bottom of it. And you go out there and the whole pond's gone.
Right.
You know,
or a deer.
Or muskrats right or whatever. Mm-hmm.
But they do have, gunnerite or whatever it's called.
Gunnite. Yeah. And then put a bladder, like a swimming pool.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You know? But it still will come up because the resident of, I guess, the water table
rises,
and so you know the water, everything.
That's why you keep a swimming pool full because if you don't, it's going to be yard art.
Yeah, it everything is weird out there. The hydrology is very strange in that O'Brien area. One time you can drive along the road and it looks like Mars in a desert. The next thing you drive around and there's a pond in the middle of the summer right there, and it holds water no problem year round. It's very strange out there.
So. Come to go. But I think if we get started on that, I want to finish it rather than it looks like we got started on it and then stopped. Yeah. And I would rather make sure we have all the funding in place to get it actually finished up and running into a system at some point in time. If we don't have it, I don't want to start on it. No. I don't want to put another bladder in there and then not be able to have the well capacity to keep it full and to actually test it and run it and push water out of the hydrants once a month or whatever you got to do. you know, we get the system up, you know, don't go out there and put the bladder and say, yep, well, we got enough money to put that bladder in there, because it's going to get compromised again.
Over time.
So.
Well, okay.
And rocky soil, that thing's just rocky as all get out there. You know, I don't know, you walk out there and the bladder and poke a hole in it.
Cistern.
Just what it is. I think we have to get a tank.
Above ground tanks, and I don't know, you know, military surplus has them for sale or.
That's what this guy was talking about.
Whatever.
Apparently there's a city, Malin, that's got an extra 100,000 gallon tank or 200,000 gallon tank. And I feel like that's enough to start with. I mean, you don't have to have
Water
suppression reservoir.
Your fire suppression has to match what your infrastructure.
Yeah, there's no infrastructure there right
there's
now.
There's nothing there
so
right
let's
now.
Let's get something in there.
Get something in there that we can test.
10,000-20,000 square feet, and that'd be good. You know, we don't need a million square feet reservoir.
And I think if you had tanks, you could add two.
Probably.
I mean, you dig that, put all that money into that pond, a retention pond, and I'm seeing mosquito problems. I'm seeing
the big problem around airports
is attracting the birds.
Yeah.
And so there's just a whole bunch of things, and I'm not really. Looked at that pond, and I went, holy cow.
Migrating birds find a nice watering hole.
Yeah. Well, we need to get that going. So.
So I think we really do need to look at something.
I wouldn't mind taking a look at that report, and hopefully it says what we want it to say.
Yeah.
So often they tell you something, it's like, I don't need to know that.
Yeah.
You know. I need to know these things anyway, but that'll be $50,000. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Telling you what you already knew.
Exactly what you need to know.
Okay.
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 That was it for me.
Great, Arthur.
Thanks.
Miami Airport Fire Suppression. I'm gonna write down here. Other business.
How are we doing on that ODOT conversation?
I was told by city manager that ODOT or Art Anderson met with Rob Brandis and Public Works Director over in Jason Kennedy over in last week sometime and discussed the commuter lane and I think put more clarity as to they thought it was Art for some reason seemed to think that we were asking for a full revamp of the South Y and everything, and I think that I haven't talked to Rob because he won't be in the office until Monday, but I want to find out how that conversation went. Because, you know, we need to lean in. And then the conversation went also that I think Allen Creek Road is probably going to be a non-starter.
Yeah.
And what's the possibility of moving the funding, what's left of the funding in Allen Creek Road over to the commuter lane. And what I got from Aaron, City Manager Kubik, was that Art was going to rescope that out there so we can get an actual number. Their last number was $12 million, and I can't for the life of me figure where they got that. Threw a dart at a board or something, I guess. But so we're gonna look into that. Today, this afternoon, I'm gonna go do some reconnaissance. I'm gonna do my picture taking, and we'll get a PowerPoint together for ODOT, I think if we need to take
Let's do that. You put that together, then we invite them in.
Then
and
we invite
talk
them in.
About.
Yeah, we need to have a really good, strong presentation. It's very similar to what we would present to RV Act or the OTC or
and then
regional.
I think how we do this invitation, we give them three options, three different days, three different times of the week, three different times of the month, and we're meeting on this subject with representatives of the city, and in our conference room. We would sure appreciate it if you could show up for an hour.
And I think the MPO needs to be involved. Anybody?
Yeah, the whole.
You know, because MPO is congestion mitigation and air quality.
Maybe we hold it over at the Ann Basker and we put together a square conference table with everybody around it.
Yep.
And we'll have the opportunity, we can do the PowerPoints over there. And we set out an agenda and we talk about all of the issues that we have. I think that's really important.
And with this one, particular one out here, I think we would also be, what frustrates me is that we always talk about what the problems are and everything, but on this one, particular one, we will be providing a solution.
We usually do.
Yeah.
You know?
And I that
complaining without a solution is called whining. And we don't do that. We have stuff.
Yeah, we have some good stuff there. So I think...
Let's get that list that we started when they were here. There were three or four things that we were going to specifically... But I have my list. You have your list. It's not just the off-ramps. It's, for me, the Caves Highway, we have a bridge approach. I don't even know what the name of the creek is, but there's the road is settling, and there's a pretty significant bump that's establishing right after that, and something's going to give. And it's doing it now, and I'd hate for it to happen in the winter.
It might be. Surely would. In my mind, it would warrant investigation to see that maybe the water isn't putting a sinkhole behind the first bridge abutment.
We've been there.
It's like Sand Creek. Right? Yeah. You know, you washed out behind all the
buttresses, and
the road falls away. So, but yeah, let's do it. I think we have vowed, you know, at our meetings with the city and everything, that at every opportunity we need to be pressuring ODOT. I don't think if we don't pressure ODOT with good information, we're never going
to
get anything.
We don't have to wait for you to finish the PowerPoint to do the extension of the invitation.
Let's put it on the thing,
dovetail right in.
I'm going to have that. Yeah. I'm going to have that. I'll have that pictorial information at the end of the day.
Right.
So it'll be on my phone. We'll just download.
I can work with the staff on putting together three different options: little letter, maybe a short agenda, and an invitation to the MPO, the city, and ODOT.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Okay. I'll do that right after this.
Well, I think that would be... I think the timing is right for that. Like, we've opened that...
Yeah, I think...
Pandora's box, so let's see what's inside it.
We need to get with Rob and see what his list is, too.
Right. Rob will be back in Monday, so we'll sit down with him.
Start it today and get it.
Sit down with him and
get it sent out on Monday.
Yeah. Okay. That's all we've got.
How's your comment card?
It's coming along right now. Up to Ricky, she's kind of taking care of that. Another thing is, I met with the powers that be and the smoke jumpers yesterday out at Ivy Airport, and we're going to have some sort of resolution. We're going to face that problem of the old caretaker's house out there and what to do with it and how to do with it. We've taken one of the bones we threw them is we're taking the demolition option off the table, and if they want it to remain, our suggestion was to move it, that they move it.
I'm in favor of moving it. I like that idea.
There's a whole bunch of different nuances out there. They've got a list of about four things that we came up with yesterday at the meeting, and some of them require some follow-up information, dollars and cents, because a lot of it is going to be is who's paying how much and is it feasible to do that. So we'll get to that. They're going to get back. The smoke jumpers are going to have a meeting, and they've never discussed the opportunity of the county giving them the house. You like it, it's your grandpa's hammer, but your grandpa's hammer can't stay in my toolbox. If you want it, you take it home.
Yeah.
And you know, I kind of suggested to them that if you're going to preserve that asset as something historical, it needs to be in the historical area of the airport, not outside that. Because out there, it's vulnerable, not just to...
Well, and it's not very user-friendly to be way out
not.
There.
It is not. So, you know, if it's coupled in there, like for instance, it came up, like a pilot's lounge.
That's what I want to see.
A pilot's lounge. It doesn't need to be down at the entrance on the highway. It needs to be
too far away.
It needs to be in there behind the meeting room, the cafeteria or lunchroom or whatever they call it. Because then there's facilities in there. If, you know, if somebody wanted to make themselves a sandwich or fry themselves an egg, then they could do that. But I don't know if they had thought of that, but it's... they're going to get back to Director Graves and myself on, I think it's the last weekend in August, and some sort of a proposal that they can hammer out. So, and they're getting the bids together. They're going to put together the bids and what it's going to cost. They're very optimistic. You know, they figure they can put all new heating and air conditioning in that little house for $5,500, and I, having done that a few years, they're not I don't think they bought the equipment for $5,500.
Something I was thinking about is like, I don't care what stuff costs. If you're gonna do it, you put in your $5,500 heating and air conditioning system, that's fine.
Yeah, you put that in your budget. If you don't get it, it's your problem.
What I was seeing was like, why are we getting tripped up over these numbers? These numbers are not our numbers. I don't care whose numbers they are. They're your numbers.
Yeah.
You do it. It's your house. You
yeah.
know? Well, what I would be in favor of is maybe we pay to move it, but then it's yours.
Yeah, I think.
Because that's less than demo.
I think they need to have a dog in the fight for partial moving because I you know, split the moving or something. You know, we should help them out a little bit.
What I was thinking is that if we're, take the smoke jumpers out of it, it's our asset, which it is.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
We're going to demolish it. The figure for this is $30,000 to demolish it or whatever. That's our incurred cost. Take them out. Anything up to what we would have paid to get to scratch where
for demolition.
You know, for demolition, I think that's our contribution. That's what we would have to do if they weren't here. So if we can get out of it, if we can get out of it for 10 grand to move it,
mm-hmm.
I'll pay for all of that.
I'll pay for all of the
moving because that's less than what we would have incurred.
That's a good way to look at it because, you know, that the original costs. Thing was is put the new caretaker structure in there, which we did. And the original proposal is to blame the old one. And then all of a sudden it's, no, that's historical. And so that's where we're at now.
Well, it was never fully agreed upon that that was the end game. It was, we'll address that. We'll cross that bridge when we get there. And now,
now we're here.
And now we're there.
We're there. So I think
I like
they're
to
very reasonable.
An asset if it can be, and if it could be repurposed as a pilot's lounge, it just makes that airport that much more user-friendly and
more
a great
attractive.
Place to go. Yeah, so if it could all work out, everybody a win-win.
Well, I did remind them on a couple of occasions that IV was not a smoke jumper museum with an airport as a sidekick. That it is an airport. It's a Josephine County facility that happens to have a smoke jumper museum and some history behind it. I think we can preserve both of those and be just, you know, that's an asset to the airport, but it certainly, if it weren't there, the airport would still be there and still owned by the county. So they're good with that.
Yeah.
I think, you know, Mr. Hardesty he's kind of the, you know, he's a real solid guy when it comes to that. So they
seem to think they can do it.
Yep.
I mean, Paul Weller, it's his profession to move stuff.
Exactly. He was there yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was there yesterday, which was, he had really good input. He said, well, I can do it, but he was just kind of thinking out loud. And he was down to like 5,000. And I thought, you know, I'm just keep talking. But you know, he said, well, I'll do this. And I'm not having to move it down the road. I'm just having to move it across the lot. You know,
yeah.
He says, I could probably do that for $5,000. I said, that doesn't include site prep or anything. He goes, no.
No, just getting
but
it
just
up and moving.
Getting it and just pulling it over there. So
if we're at $10,000,
if we're at ten, that would help with some site prep. We're all set.
I would write a check for that.
We'll just keep that in the back of our mind. We'll see what they come up with because they're really gonna. I said the main thing is we've been arguing about this thing for quite some time, and I don't want to go into next
if we
winter.
Moved it 2 years ago. They'd have it renovated now.
You'd have it done. And I said, in my mind, if we give you the thing and you move it over here, now it's off everybody's radar because it's within your historic thing.
Yeah,
you can take this whole packet of what you want to do and face it.
Yeah.
You know, y'all guys want to get out there and put a new roof on it on the weekend, do that.
Yeah. And they do quality work. I mean, it's not like this is a fly-by, you know, night thing. You go out there and you look at them. I mean, the shingles they put on the walls, mm-hmm. they're all perfectly straight. I mean, that's what these guys do. They're
and I said, you know, then it's in your timeline when you want to do it because it's within your facility. So there's some
and
merit
make
to
it all match,
a couple
and
things.
All be,
do whatever you'd like out there within permit. Yeah, get permits
sure,
and stuff.
Sure.
Anyway, I thought that turned out really well. Item on number five, board business, is 5A is resolution number 2018-042 in the matter of an appointment to the Rural Planning Commission. We have a recommendation for James Cunningham to fill Christine Gardner's unexpired term.
Sounds good.
And want to move that to consent, probably?
Yes, sir.
And 5B is Resolution 2018-043 in the matter of appointment to Josephine County Parks Advisory Board. Ivan Ogre is appointed to a four-year term.
Right.
Okay. C is Resolution Number 2018-044 in the matter of appointment to the Urban Area Planning Commission. Jim Coulter is appointed to a four-year term.
I think that's a reappointment.
I think it is, too. He had a letter.
Yeah.
He had wrote a real nice letter that he wanted to run again.
That's great.
And then D is a Resolution Number 2018-045 in the matter of appointment to the Grants Pass Airport Advisory Board. Jack Schweitzer is to be appointed to a four-year term, and that's a recommendation of the board. I met Mr. Schweitzer at the last meeting that we had out there last week. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
He has a plane. He's a tenant with a hangar out there. He's a pilot, so I think he'd be a good asset. And he did, even as just a member of the audience, he was engaged in the meeting, and he
good.
Participated in the meeting, which to me is very important when you get on these advisory board meetings and budget committees and whatnot. It just drives me nuts that you're on, sit there for the whole term of the whole thing and don't ask one question. That bothers me. This guy here, he was engaged, so I think they are recommending that, so if that's okay.
Commissioner DeYoung, I really appreciate you going to these airport advisory board meetings.
Well, yeah, they're interesting.
They are. It's vital that the commissioner.
I flew out to IV yesterday with Larry. Huh?
When did it come across? What?
Yeah. I think with Larry and I on the plane.
I was going to say, I don't know.
Pretty full.
Plane.
Pretty full. So, but yeah, it was fun. It was interesting. I saw more marijuana grows than I cared to see. You know, there's more marijuana than there is other. I mean, you used to see hay fields and wheel lines and stuff.
Not anymore.
The whole way out there. Larry says, "Well, I got six under this wing." I said, "I got three under my wing and four I can see just coming up under the wheel." Amazing. And that's not plants, that's grows, full-size grows. So, okay, moving on to item E, matters from commissioners. Do you have anything?
No, I think I've covered everything.
We're putting out the RFP for the fairgrounds manager position. I understand we've got 18 to 20 applicants, so JJ's going to weed through those and get us a refined version.
Historically, we've had the president or the chair of the fair board, maybe two delegates of the fair board.
Yes, yeah,
we're on the interview panel for that.
Yeah,
the non-voting delegates.
Chairman of the board, Lonnie Johnson, called me the other day, and he showed a real interest in saying, "Can the fair board sit in on the?" I says, "I think some representatives.
Not the full fair
board. I don't want the full fair board in there. You'll just be kind of a liaison and a bird on the fly on the wall, so you can go back and report to how things are going."
Yes.
And I reminded Lonnie also, I said, "It's not you that picks the person, it's..."
There's only three voting members, and that's the board.
It's the board. The Board of County Commissioners will pick it, but we definitely are interested in your input.
It's, the three I think I picked, it's unanimous.
Yeah.
People feel it's not a challenge.
Yeah, by the time we get down to that line, you know, everybody I think will be on board with that. So anyway, so that's all I have.
The nice thing is that's been the historic practice. In the last three that we've done, we've always done it that way.
Yeah, good.
There's two delegates of the fair board, and it worked really well.
Yep, and they'll be happy with that. So other than that, I don't have anything. You got anything else?
No, lots to do, but...
Okay, with that, we are adjourned at 9:48.
Good deal.